it comes. The latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. We are going to put such a positive spotlight on the Southwest for this next 30 minutes. I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and I thank you for listening and for being a part of Mrs. Green's world. First, I would like to thank the sponsor of our show today and important partners of Mrs. Green's world. And I use the word important. I had great in there, but what does that even mean? Important partners with Mrs. Green's world because of the work they're doing and the impact they're making. Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona. Their mission is to provide services, training, and jobs to people with barriers to employment. Their business is all about changing lives, and they are dedicated to the ideal of strengthening the families they work with, and in turn, they strengthen our community through that work and through the power of their work. You are doing just that. So today we're going to be talking about the only future we ever have, our youth, sustainable futures, youth services that enrich lives. And joining me in studio to highlight some of the important work they're doing with youth are Tara Carmody, Academic Services Coordinator, and my friend and return guest, Judith Simmons, Director of Marketing at Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona. Judy, it's always great to have you here. And Tara, welcome to Mrs. Green's world. It's great to have you here, too.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I know, our first Goodwill show of the year. And it's like, okay, where did January go? Happy 4th of July is what we should be saying.
It's like, it's going by so fast.
It's scary. You and I talk about it a lot, and we talk about our addiction to fashion and all those things, which is not the content of this show. But anyway, it's great to have you here for lots of reasons, one of which is our addiction to fashion and resale in general. But we always get excited about the overall mission and impact of Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona. So give us just a recap of that mission and the considerable impact you have in our community in Southern Arizona.
Yeah, thank you again for having us. And so for a lot of people, they think of Goodwill as a place to donate and then just a place to shop. But a lot of people don't realize that we have our 10 workforce development programs and services here in Southern Arizona. And it's to provide jobs, training, and services to people, like you said, with barriers to employment. And a barrier could be anything, you know, from having not been in the workforce before or needing
never
to get,
done a resume.
Right.
No computer.
Right.
There's
right.
so many things that will stop somebody from getting a job.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it could be someone who is formerly incarcerated or who, you know, who needs to get back into the workforce because they're underemployed. So a lot of our services revolve around how to get a job and then how to get a better job. And we've got, you know, services that support youth, 12 to 24, all of our youth services serve that age range so that they could make, you know, better decisions for their for themselves and their families. And then for the adults, we help them gain the skills, whether, like you said, it's computer skills and getting the digital skills that they need to, you know, apply for a job online or fill out a resume or things like that. So we're really excited about this year. Last year, we were able to serve over 10,000 people in Southern Arizona. And for the first time, over 1,400 youth through our youth programs.
And I think about the ripple effect that that has, because you directly serve 10,000 people and they come from families and they have children mm-hmm. or they have parents or they have siblings. So to me, the 10,000 is the tip of the iceberg, and it's a ripple effect to change lives. And, you know, I believe, I'll never forget when I heard this quote, is the only way to end poverty is to get people out of it. And that's what Goodwill does.
Yes.
They get people out of poverty by giving them the skills that they can do. It's hard to believe that, you know, I'm a scanner when I'm always observing people everywhere I go. And when you go and I hear people saying, you know, I'd like to apply for a job, they have to do it online. So mm-hmm. what if they don't have that? That's a financial disadvantage if they don't have a computer. So there are so many pieces to really being able to get people to become employed.
Yeah, and for those who don't have access to a computer or the internet, we have 6 job connection centers that are in our stores here in Southern Arizona. So they can go in, it's a completely free service. They can go in, log into the internet. You have somebody there who can help you fill out that resume or online application. I mean, we'll walk you through it all, and it's free to anyone who comes in.
And what a service. I mean, you can't do it anymore. Can you imagine, like, just for those of us sitting in the room, was there a life without internet? You know what I mean? And I'm not a big Facebook time. I haven't been on Facebook all week. Mm-hmm. And it's, but I can't imagine my life without it. Did I Google things? Did I use Google Maps to get home from being up in Scottsdale? Yeah. So computer is such an integral part of our life and the success of our lives. So it's big. So Tara, we're going to make it all about you. I have to bring this up because you have quite an impressive background, and I want to share a little bit about it. In addition to being the workforce development academic and volunteer coordinator and 7 years experience with at-risk youth, after you graduated from Lawrence University with a dual BA in government and Russian studies, I had to bring this up because there's a lot of things in the news these days about Russia. And if you have any inside edition, please feel free to share with us. And I'm certainly kidding about that. But you taught in Russia and you served in the Peace Corps in South Africa as a school and community resource specialist. So you bring a lot of richness to the experience of what you're doing. And when you came back to the United States, you decided to continue youth development work in Tucson through Goodwill's Metro Youth Program, which empowers youth participants to reach their goals, get their GEDs, and get connected to community resources. Why Goodwill? What draws you to them and this work and to kids?
Yeah, well, hi, everyone.
Hi, everyone. It's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me here. I really connected with Goodwill's mission, and I think helping people, those that have been underserved and have come from disadvantaged backgrounds, get the resources they need in order to succeed in life. We all have our own difficulties growing up, but I realize I come from a very privileged background, and
right.
I want to be able to give back. My dad always told me, to those things have been given, great things are expected. And so that's something I hold with me.
And it's you know, when I said earlier in the show that I changed the word from great to important, it's amazing to me how many shows Judy and I have done together and other people from Goodwill, and I'm always reignited when I visit the website and read some more and fully connect with why I'm so passionate about Goodwill. As a donator, as people, I have gotten so many people to donate, but as a shopper, it's one of the most fun things my kids and I can do is go to Goodwill for the great finds. And I mentioned off air, but we went to Denver. We spent about 2.5 hours in the Goodwill store. It's huge. So you had a lot of territory to cover. Mm-hmm. But I was calling Judy from the store saying, they have thousands of scarves, and just had a really good time with that. But what gets me excited is that I know it's guilt-free shopping. The stuff was donated, so there's no filthy fashion involved on guilt on my end. And the program, the money from that, is employing people in the stores, and it's going to support programs like this. So I am truly a legitimate, authentic cheerleader. Okay, we talked about donating and shopping, and I want to ask you a little bit more about that. You said you have 10 workforce development programs, 5 youth programs. What would you say is the most common denominator in the Goodwill youth programs? Is there a highlight that you have? Like, what is the main goal for operating youth programs and getting kids younger?
Well, I think, and Tara can definitely jump in. I think, you know, when it comes to supporting youth between those ages, and those ages are really important, especially, you know, as they get older, say 16 to 24, there is an expectation that, you know, they should already know how to do certain things. But some of the young adults that we work with, they hadn't had that support in the past, you know, to teach them the skills, like, no, this is, you get up and you go to work, or you
be on time,
right? And this is how you should dress for an interview. So we provide not only those skills and support, but then we go beyond when it comes to they can't find housing, they can't find, you know, they don't know where to get their food.
Life skills.
Yeah, exactly. And so when it comes to, say, our Metro and the Rec program, where a lot of it's a drop-in center, sometimes the youth come in, they don't even know what they're looking for. You know, they don't even know the services that they need until...
But they know they need something.
Yeah, but then, you know...
And it generally starts with a snack.
Yeah. Yeah.
How perfect. Food for teenagers? Yeah. Come on, this is like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Have snacks available and you'll get them to come back.
And we've got great staff and volunteers. Like when I walk into Metro, I always see, you know, Lance and Tara and our new team member, Carlos, and, you know, the volunteers are always engaging with the youth and they're... they take the time to sit down and talk with them. And that's sometimes just all they need. You know, just someone to talk to, and then they can get into what is it that you want to do? What, you know, what's your life goal? How do we get you there? And so the services they provide is very individualized and sometimes very intensive. And then, you know, I hear stories from our other youth staff, and they're like, yeah, I'll get a phone call at 4 a.m. in the morning because... someone's in a crisis. And so, you know, I think that's probably that's a lot of common denominators, but really it's just the passion of our staff who want to give that individualized attention to a youth or young adult that just needs that extra. So we're extra.
It matters. And you know, Tara, I want to ask you a question. Last night, I'm like starved for good news, isn't everybody?
Mm-hmm.
No matter what your political beliefs are, there isn't good news. So you have to get on to the good news train. So last night, my daughter and I watched the CNN Heroes Award. It's the end of last year. We got our tissue boxes out. We got ready for it. But one of the common threads of those CNN heroes from around the world, and I kept listening with my youth services hat on, is it didn't matter what the hero was getting the kids to do. What mattered is, and they said this over and over, kids just want someone to talk to. They want someone to listen to them. They want to be safe. Even hard gangbangers, they want to be safe. They're doing that for survival. So with your experience, is that true that many kids, they just want someone to listen and then you can open the door to teaching them skills and getting them engaged and a focus and a purpose?
Absolutely. I think one of our greatest strengths in our programs is that comes first. And we understand that you can't hold a job, you can't work on your GED, you can't stay in high school if you don't have food, if you don't have a stable place to live, if you have all these other barriers. And so to sit there and offer them support with those things first before we can move on to the other things is really what we try to do. So being a supportive adult for those youth who may not have one or who may not feel connected to the supportive adults that were assigned maybe through foster care or through other school experiences. So we're just an extra resource that they can trust and go to when they need something, even if it's just to talk.
Just to talk. And it's a wonderful reminder, even as parents. Teenagers really, they are going to push you, but they really want you. They want you in your lives. And when I did my mentoring, I thought the kids were going to like dump me when they went into high school. And they wanted me in their lives more. A mentor is a different role than a parent because parents are always wrong from freshman year through senior year. I started getting so much smarter after my kids graduated from high school. But it's really something for all of us to remember. And going back to CNN Heroes, some of these kids, I'll be honest, were like rough looking. Really lots of things that if you saw them on the street, I'm going to be honest, you might say, wow, hopefully I'm enculturated enough that I wouldn't. They're teddy bears. They're muffins. I'm not being condescending. They're like just these big open-hearted kids that had to put on a street persona. And when you get them doing something, they're giddy, they giggle, they laugh, they, you know, get involved in horseplay because life is not so hard for them. And that's, you know, I'm going on my passion about Goodwill. It's the environment that you create. I've been visiting enough programs to see that banter and that camaraderie and that support, that safe zone that really is so empowering. I sound like a commercial, don't I?
That's okay. Go on.
I mean, I do. It's like I hope my sincerity comes through. I worked with at-risk children and families for 30 years. And I know when you get deep down and get in the weeds, all they need is someone to listen to. And then that's the beginning. That's the beginning of it.
And some of our young adults, they had to grow up pretty quickly. You know,
To say the least.
Right. And, you know, and now they're also raising their own kids. So whatever we can do to help them make their lives a little bit better, or direct them to, you know, a job or a service that can help them. Like we were talking, you know, when you were talking about sustainable futures, how to give them the skills to be independent of, you know, whatever else is going on in their lives that may not be the most positive influence. That's what we want to try to get them
to get engaged. Yes, yeah. It's a connection. It's all about connection. And do you want to go a little bit more into why those ages? You're working specifically, you said 12 to 24, probably a little bit older than that. I would think maybe 14. Mm-hmm. Why have you targeted those ages?
So we see a lot of youth, mostly, we do work with 14 to 24, but 16 to 22 is a lot of what we see.
Like the sweet spot.
And it's that transitional age. So they're becoming adults in the eyes of the law. And a lot of them, I believe, between 60 and 70% of our youth at the Metro program are coming out of the foster care system. So they're transitioning out of a system they've been in their whole life and looking for those next supports and skills so that they can support themselves. And so being there for them during that transition. And, you know, a lot of times they're introduced to the space and they want nothing to do with it because they're told to go there and they have to show up. But then maybe 6 months or a year go by and they come back and we're still there. And
that feels good, I bet.
They can receive the services when they're ready.
Yes, when they're ready. And I want to do the happy dance. When we have video capability in the studio, you'll see me get up and do the happy dance because of my background. We used to advocate and be at the legislature every year because kids are not done with your help at 18. Hello, folks, let's have the news flash there. They're not ready. And so many program services, you're 18, goodbye, you're on your own. Here's your hat, what's your hurry? And I love that you go up to 24 because they're still kids in many ways. They have a lot of strikes against them, not the same backgrounds that we had the privilege to experience. So I think that's really important. And the younger you can get them, the better. We all know that. The younger the intervention, the more likelihood of success. So let's just go a little bit more on what you said, Judy, about not just sustainable future, but the impact that has on creating a sustainable community. It makes me laugh when people put themselves in a little silo and they think what goes on the South Side doesn't impact them or whatever. And I'm not being judgmental. I'm really not. It's like I want to educate people that, you know, a rising tide really does lift all ships or raise all ships, whatever that is. So we're as strong as the weakest link. So the strengthening of those youth helps create more sustainable communities. You want to add to that at all?
Well, I mean, I think here in Southern Arizona, we've got a pretty unique community. We've got, I mean, the most, you know, the most nonprofits in like the square miles or something like that.
A lot of services.
But I think what it is that we see that there is a need in the community to also keep our people in our community.
Yes.
You know, and it's,
you
know, there's this thing called the brain drain, right? Like someone, our youth will go and if they have the opportunity to go to a college out of state, awesome, but they don't want to come back. So what we want to do is the people who want to stay, we want to increase their skills and increase their education, whatever that might mean to them, and to build a community that they want to stay in, to invest in. And so I know that Goodwill is committed to investing in this community because, you know, the community also helps us provide those jobs and they support our programs through their donations and their shopping. And we want to be able to provide the jobs not only in our organization, but to move people onto better jobs in the community and to gain the skills that you need to go into like the technology field or aviation or things like that. And we're really excited to, you know, explore those areas. And if there are anybody, you know, listening who can help us partner in those areas, especially when it comes to solar and all of it, please, you know, reach out and let's see where we can build or create careers that'll stay here.
Partnerships. Like I think about watershed management. So water and solar and all of those places, you know, if you and I had time, we could just develop intern programs for all of those. It's like in our next iteration. So let's talk specifically about the program, the Metro Youth Program and the REC. What are they? Who do they serve? What do you do in those programs? Because I know me, I'll be on this philosophical shtick and we won't get down in the weeds about what are the services you provide and who do they serve.
Mm-hmm. So, and to continue off of the community piece, and Metro serves disconnected youth. 21% of youth in Tucson are disconnected. And so that number is about 13,000 in this community. So even with the impact we have had, there are a lot more youth who aren't receiving services.
Right.
And that is a $8.5 billion economic loss over their lifespan if they're not connected.
People need to hear that. It's mm-hmm. an investment in our future as taxpayers to take care of them and bring as many of them into the fold as possible. It can be seen as very selfish. Mm-hmm. I don't want to support them. I want them to have a job so they help, you know, support me.
Right. So Metro serves those youth, and it's a walk-in space. So they can come in. It's on 4th Avenue. It's
perfect.
Next to some transportation hubs downtown, you know, off of their footpath. And so they can walk in, and they don't have to set any appointments. It's all about when they're ready to start services. So they can come in. They can work on their GEDs. If they enroll with our program, it is paid for. We pay for their GEDs and their practice tests, and then we have one-on-one tutors. We partner with the U of A and Pima Community College, and we have volunteer tutors that come down and work with our youth.
Awesome.
And additionally, we help them with resumes, with job interviews, with job applications, and we keep a up-to-date job board of everything that we know that's going on in Tucson, so they can come there for all of that information.
And I'm very curious as to how do they find out about it? Is it, some kids come and they say, this is really cool, come bring your friends? Or are there referral services from other organizations? How do kids find out about it? I didn't know about it, and I spend time on 4th Avenue. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking for a youth services program, that's true. But how do kids find out about it? And families and foster parents and people that care about kids?
You know, I think There are many ways they find out about it. Word of mouth, for sure. Sometimes I have people call and they say they heard it on the in-store radio or they saw a flyer. Sometimes
now it'll be Mrs. Green's World Down to Earth,
right?
If we get the word out there far and wide, which we will.
Mm-hmm. Additionally, we partner with the DCS system, so Department of Child Safety. So case managers will bring their clients down, same with behavior health agencies. So we have a lot of partnerships within Tucson, and we do have a referral system so people can refer you.
And those
over.
Caseworkers are always hungry for good places to refer kids mm-hmm. they care about. So that I get that. Is that DES? It used to be DES. Is it a division of Department of Economic Security, the DCS?
DCS is Department of Child Safety.
Okay.
So they are the foster care system.
Okay, mm-hmm. which late to the party here. That's mm-hmm. changed since I was very involved. And I think it's in the notes you gave me, the prep notes, which I always appreciate and read. It's really great for people to know that a GED or a credential can increase a person's lifetime earnings by $500,000. And I would like to say at least, mm-hmm. if you have an education, you can be on your way. And there's kids that make millions of dollars because someone gave them a chance. Mm-hmm. And who knows what they're going to invent next.
And that $500,000, that only represents if they get some education after getting their GED, but not even completing their an associate's degree or bachelor's degree. So that number jumps up and continues to keep growing with the more
right.
education they
have. It's exponential. I mean, mm-hmm. it really is. So you talk about a GED, academic services, tutoring. Why do you think that's as important as giving them a skill? Because this program is more about, you know, getting them involved academically, their GED, really getting them engaged and connected. So with your background, and mm-hmm. do you teach them Russian? I'm only kidding. academic services, why is that so important from the philosophical standpoint of Goodwill?
Well, it helps them get their foot in the door at the job interviews.
Got
if they
it.
Don't have that credential on their resume, that puts them at a disadvantage. So we're working to help them level out the playing field so they can get those job opportunities.
Yes, and when there's promotions and all that, you'll help them give it. To me, it's all about giving them a hand up, mm-hmm. not a hand out, and mm-hmm. I love that. Do some of them who go in this program, do they get involved in any of the other programs you have? You know me, the restorative the restoration program, that's like my pet project. Do some kids, do you cross-pollinate sometimes?
Yes, absolutely. I think what's great about Goodwill's youth programs is that not only does the staff work well together, but the staff will share youth. So if a youth is getting a service, say at Metro, and then all of a sudden they're like, this young adult would be great to get a little more intensive services with, say, youth restoration project. So, that person would still have to apply for that job at youth restoration project. But once they get in, not only do they get that extra, here's some time for you to do your GED tutoring or, go get your driver's license, but you're also going to learn a skill in basic carpentry and bike repair and like sometimes even the business side of what it means to sell these items, say at the Saba Home Show. And then from there, obviously they'll do the GED tutoring with Tara and her friends. And then we could move them on to, say, our youth employment program. So, if they decide, okay, well, they're kind of done with their time with the youth restoration project and they still need a little bit more employment skills or work experience, but we can hand them off to our youth employment.
That.
Yeah,
You've
and then
that.
We'll work with local employers to give them that additional work experience, and we pay for it. We pay for their wages, and we are responsible for workers' compensation, and we have staff that go out to the sites and provide the support not only to our youth but to our employer partners too.
Got it. And we've talked about this on other shows, but we kind of gloss over, because of our place in the world, about things like presenting at Saba Home Show. Mm-hmm. No big deal for my kids. They were prepped and ready. For these kids to put their work on display, to articulate it, to speak publicly, they were not given that tool in their toolboxes. So it's a big deal that's what I call developmental assets that give them more skills and more confidence to show up in a very tough world. Okay. 2 minutes left. How the heck does that happen? You can donate. That's important to Goodwill. Don't go anywhere else. You can shop. That's ways to support them. Can you quickly, Tara, talk about would you use volunteers?
Yeah, so there are many options, and we have different levels of involvement in every program. So if you're not sure what type of commitment you want, you can do drop-in tutoring just like the youth do drop-in sessions, and you can be on hand for when they show up. You can also come down and help with resume workshops or mock interviews. We're always looking for mentors, and there's some longer-term commitments as well. Additionally, we're also, I think, as was said earlier, looking for different local organizations who might want to partner, so we can get our youth out to different work sites to maybe experience a mock interview in an office instead of somewhere they're comfortable. So looking to expand in all of those ways.
And all of those ways to connect are on our website, so we don't have to go through them and use that time. But I will say this, other than being a parent and a grandparent, being a mentor is the most rewarding and significant thing I have ever done in my life. And I am still a mentor. And if you're listening and you have some spare time and you want to do something that's going to make you feel really good and have rewards, think about contacting them and being a mentor. Our best of show is Jason Laros next week, manager of the City of Tucson for energy, the City's Got Solar, and our our national show, Dana Foss, Food Shift, From Landfills to People. Can't wait to do that one. Thanks both of you for what you do, for being here, and for making such a difference for our community. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks.